This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chukas Balak, but our shir today is going to be focused on Parsha's Chukas, and mostly on the statements on chapter 20, verse number 1, and also on chapter 20, verse number 22. The Pasuk in chapter 20, verse number 1, is the preceding Pasuk before the story of Mei Meriva, of Waters of Strife, the story where Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen were punished that they shouldn't come into Eretz Yisrael because they did something wrong in that Parsha. And we'll start with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayavoyu Bnei Yisrael Kol Oida, the children of Israel, the entire assembly came, Midbar Tzin, to the desert of Tzin, B'Chodesh HaRishon, on the first month, meaning on the month of Nisan, Vayeshev Oam BeKodesh, and the nation settled in Kodesh, Vatomos Shom Miriam, Miriam died there, Vatikover Shom, and she was buried there. Rashi right away asks a question, why is it written, Kol Oedo, the whole congregation? It could have just said, Vayvo Bnei Yisrael Midbar Tzin, that the Jewish people came to the desert of Tzin. What does it mean, the whole assembly? So Rashi explains, Edo Hashlema, this is the whole assembly, Shekvar Meisu Meisei Midbar, that those who were supposed to die in the wilderness by the decree of the spies, that they were supposed to die during the 40 years of the desert, already died, the Elu Perishu L'chaim, and this assembly is now separated for life. The simple interpretation meaning that they will remain now alive. And now we are going to bring Pasuk 22, which Pasuk 22 is the Pasuk that precedes the death of Aharon HaKohen, where Hashem tells Aharon HaKohen to go up the mountain and die. And the Pasuk says, Vayisu Mikodesh, that the Jewish people left from Kodesh, Vayavou Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people came, Kol Oedo, the whole congregation, Hoy Rahar to Hoy Rahar. Rashi here again is bothered by the word Kol Oedo, the whole congregation. Rashi says more clearly that Kulom Shalemim, that this whole congregation is all complete, whole, Ba'omdim Lichones Loretz, and they are ready to come into the land. Meaning, Shaloyagabam Echot Mo'oisom Shenigzro Gzer Aleim, that there wasn't a single person amongst them that was decreed on him that he should die because of the spies. Shekvar kolu meise midbar, because those who were destined to die because of the sin of the spies already died. Ve'elum oisom shekosav bohem, and this congregation is the congregation that is written about them in Dvarim chapter 4, verse number 4, Chaim kulchem ayoim, that you all are alive today. Meaning that technically all the people that are supposed to die already died, and now those people are going to remain alive. If you look at this Rashi on Pasuk number 22 and Rashi on Pasuk number 1, it seems that Rashi says exactly the same thing, which is that before the death of Miriam, we were already a new congregation, and before the death of Aharon, we are also a new congregation. The Ramban is bothered by this interpretation of Rashi, because the Ramban says that obviously if by Nisan, which was the death of Miriam, as the Pasuk writes down, B'Chodesh HaRishon, in the first month, and tradition tells us that Miriam died on the 10th of Nisan, and if at that time we were already a new congregation, meaning that all the people that are destined to die by the sin of the spies already died, by the month of Av, which is 5 months later, the time of the death of Aharon, as it's written in Parshas Maaseh, chapter 33, verse number 38, that Aharon HaKohen went up to Hoy Rahar, Al Pi Hashem, for the mouth of Hashem, Vayomar Shom, and he died there, Bishnas Arboim, let's say, Bnei Yisrael Metzvah Yisraim, in the 40th year after the Jewish people came out of Egypt, B'Chodesh HaChamishi, on the 5th month, Be'echad L'Chodesh, on the first day of the month, meaning that Aharon HaKohen died Rosh Chodesh Av, for sure, by then we already have a new congregation. If by Nisan we already have a new congregation, then obviously by Av, which is 5 months later, we'll also have a new congregation. Then obviously by Av we will have a new congregation. Then why does the Torah have to write down twice, Kol Oedo, that this is a new congregation? It would be enough that the Torah should write down the episode in Nisan, we already have a new congregation. We already know that by Av we have a new congregation. Then what's the point to write down by Av again that this is a new congregation? The Ramban brings the Evan Ezra, which the Evan Ezra asks this question, and the Evan Ezra explains that the reason it's written again by Av, that it's Kol Oedo, that's a new congregation, is because since before the story of the death of Aharon, we wanted to go over Edom, we asked Edom for permission to go across his country. Edom did not agree to it, and there in Pasuk number 18 it's written, Vayomer Elov Edom. Edom says, Lo Savor Bi, you should not pass through me. Pen Bacherev Eitzeli Krosecho, because with a sword I'll go against you. We see that Edom came to us for a war. We made a milchama with Edom. Therefore, the Torah tells you here that nobody perished during that war. That Kol Oedo, the whole congregation, came to Hoirar. That everybody escaped intact. That the same congregation that was in Nisan by the death of Miriam is now the same congregation that came by the death of Aharon. And nobody was caught during the fight of Edom. The Ramban asks that we never see that there was actually a fight with Edom. Edom only threatened to go to war against the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, Hashem says that it's not the time yet for the war. Eventually you will fight against Edom when time is on Mashiach, but right now it's not the time. And we circled around Edom. Then we see clearly that we never went to war against Edom. Then what is the purpose again for saying Kol Oedo, that now we have a complete congregation? It is important to know that Sefer Nachlas Yaakov explains that the whole drash, the whole learning that the Medrash derives from, is because it's written Kol Ha'edo, the whole congregation with the hey in front of it, which is a hey idea, which is a hey, which teaches me this is a special congregation. Therefore, what is the special about this congregation? It is that they are no longer included amongst those people that are going to die in the desert, that these are a new congregation, the congregation that is destined to come into Eretz Israel. Or, as Sefer Messiah Ilmim explains, that here the Torah changes from the regular formula of everywhere. Normally the Torah writes down Kol Adas Bnei Israel, that the whole congregation of the Jewish people, and here the Torah writes down Bnei Israel Kol Oedo, the Jewish people, the whole congregation. The Torah doesn't write down the normal formula Vayavo Kol Adas Bnei Israel El Hoir Ar, that the whole congregation came to Hoir Ar. From the fact that the Torah changes from the normal way that the Torah writes when the Torah wants to say the whole congregation of the Jewish people, therefore Rashi, the Evan Ezra, and the Medrash learn that the Torah wants to give us a message that this Kol Oedo, that this congregation, is different than the normal Kol Adas Bnei Israel, the whole congregation of Jewish people. That this is a special congregation. It's a congregation that is not going to die in the desert anymore. It's the congregation that's going to come into Eretz Israel. But the Ramban disagrees with all this. And the Ramban explains that here it is just as everywhere else when the Jewish people come to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's always written Kol Adas Bnei Israel, and don't make a big deal from the fact that it's written here Bnei Israel Kol Oedo, because we see that in Parshas Beshalach chapter 16 verse number 2 there it's written Vayiloinu Kol Adas Bnei Israel Moshe v'Aharon b'Midbar, that the whole congregation of the Jewish people fought against Moshe and Aharon in the desert. And there the Torah wants to point out that the whole congregation was involved against the fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. And also in chapter 17, verse number 1, where we have another argument against Moshe Rabbeinu, it's written there Va'isu koladas bnei Yisrael memid bar sin lemaseyem. The whole congregation journeyed from the wilderness of sin to their travels, to their journeys, al pi Hashem, through the mouth of Hashem, by word of Hashem. Va'yachnu berefidim, and they rested in refidim, they encamped in refidim. Ve'ein mayim lishtois am, and there's no water to give to drink to the people. And there again, the Jewish people come and argue against Moshe Rabbeinu. So the whole point is to teach you that the whole congregation came and fought against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the same thing here, since after the death of Miriam, the well dried up and there was no water, and the whole congregation comes to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that Koloedo, the whole congregation, came and fought against Moshe Rabbeinu, that every single Jew came and argued to Moshe Rabbeinu that he wants water. Then the Ramban explains that Pasuk 22, that is written before the death of Aharon, means exactly the same thing. Meaning that there it is also as it would have been written, Kol Adas Bnei Israel, the whole congregation of the Jewish people. And even though there we don't see a fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, but there it's to teach you something special, that after the death of Aharon, the whole congregation of the Jewish people cried over his death. Meaning that Kol Oedo is written as a pre-note that the whole congregation was present, and the whole congregation later cried for the death of Aharon. Then the Ramban says that he himself checked the Medrash Rabbah, and he says that the Medrash Rabbah only goes on Pasuk 22, where it's written Kol Oedo, and the Medrash says Edo Shleima, it's a complete Edo, that everybody died already, that goes only on Pasuk 22, right before the death of Aharon. And he says that this brings proof that regarding the first Kol Oedo, it's to teach you that the whole congregation fought against Moshe Rabbeinu in the same way that every time before they fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, it's preceded by Kol Adas Bnei Israel, the whole congregation of the Jewish people, and here it's the same thing. True that Rashi and the Ibn Ezra put that Kol Oedo that's written by Pasuk 22 and applied it to the previous Pasuk that is written Kol Oedo. But then we have the question of the Ramban, what's the purpose of putting that idea twice? Therefore the Ramban concludes and says that it is like he says, that the first Kol Oedo clearly says that the whole congregation came to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, and it is as it would have been said, Kol Adas Bnei Israel. And the Medrash only manifests himself on Pasuk 22, before the death of Aharon. There is written Kol Oedo to teach you that it was a Eda Shleima, that it was a complete congregation, that the people that are destined to die in the desert already died. Or, as he says, that teach you that everybody cried over Aharon HaKohen. The Ma'arik notes in the language of Rashi, that Rashi on Pasuk number 1 is very short, and Rashi there says, Edo HaShleima, complete congregation, Shekvar Meisu Meisa Midbar, that those who are destined to die in the desert already died, Ve'elu Parshul Chaim, and these were separated for life. Rashi doesn't go in many details. But here, in Pasuk number 22, Rashi goes in great details. Rashi says, Kulam Shleimim Ve'im Omdim Leichones La'aretz, that everybody is complete and ready to come in to the land of Israel. That there was nobody that was decreed on them to die. That everybody that was destined to die in the desert because of the decree of the spies already died. And these are among those people that's written on Parshas Vayeschanan, chapter 4, verse number 4, where Moshe Rabbeinu said in the last month of his life, V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem, and you that are connected with Hashem your God, Chaim kulchem ayoim, you are all living today, meaning that you are going to be amongst the people that are going to be living. Therefore, the Marik says that here Rashi is more complete, which is different than the Rashi there, because Rashi there is not telling for sure if the people are going to remain alive. He says there, in the Pasuk number 1, that those are the ones separated to live, which means that they are living now and they are not part of the decree of the spies. but not necessarily that they are going to come into Eretz Israel. But here in Pasuk 22, Rashi is adding that they are going to be part of Chaim Kul Chamayoim, meaning that those people that were before the death of Aharon, they are all destined to come into Eretz Israel right away, and they are going to be alive when they come into Eretz Israel. Therefore it's written here, Kol Oedo, the whole congregation that is going to come into Eretz Israel. So the first Kol Oedo just means that this is a new congregation that is not going to die in the desert by the sin of the spies, but not necessarily that they will come into Eretz Israel. But the second Kol Oedo is to tell you that now the congregation is ready to come into Eretz Israel, and they are going to be part of those Jews that's written afterwards, the last month of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Va'atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem, and you that are connected by Hashem, Chaim Kulchem Hayoyim, you are all living today. This interpretation of the Maharik is very problematic in view of what the Maskil LeDavid explains. Meaning, the Maskil LeDavid explains that quite opposite, when it says that those are part of the group that says Chaim Kulchem Hayoyim, that you that are connected to Hashem are all living today, clearly it does not mean that all that group is going to remain living. Because we cannot say that everybody after Hoyer Har, after the death of Aharon, in the 40th year, came into Eretz Israel. Why not? Because we know that after the death of Aharon, we have the war against Sichon and Og in the end of Parshas Chukas. We won that war. And right afterwards we have Parshas Balak, which Balak was afraid of the Jewish people, because Balak saw that we destroyed these great powerful nations, Sichon and Og, and therefore Balak decided to hire Bilam to come and curse the Jews. Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing the Jews, but nonetheless, Bilam gives advice to Balak that if he gets the Jewish people to commit idolatry and immorality, then he'll have an upper hand over the Jewish people. And in fact, the Jewish people in chapter 25, verse number 1, come to Shittim and they start having immorality with the daughters of Moab. And then they do the idolatry of Baal Peor. And there it's written in Pasuk number 5 that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Shoftei Israel, the judges of the Jewish people, Hirgu Ish Anoshov, that each man should kill his man in the plural, Hanitzmadin Baal Peor, that became attached to Baal Peor, meaning that anybody who committed idolatry was supposed to be put to death. But the Pasuk says, Ish Anoshov, that each man should kill his man. So Rashi explains, what does it mean that each man should kill his man in the plural? Rashi says, Kol Echot Ve'Echot Medayone Yisrael, that every single judge of the Jewish people, Hayu Oirek Shnayim, killed two people. And Rashi brings this from Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, meaning since the punishment for idolatry is death, and there were so many people doing idolatry, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded that each Jewish judge should kill two of the people that are committing idolatry. And since we know V'dayin Yisrael Shmoino Riboy V'Shmoino Salafim, and since we know that there was 88,000 judges, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down, because we had judges over 10 people, judges over 50 people, judges over 100 people, and judges over 1,000 people. And if you take the population of 603,550 and you divide it by 10, which is one judge per 10, that ends up being 60,355. And then you take every 50, which is 603,550 divided by 50, ends up being 12,071. So you already get 72,426. And then you add the judges of 100, and then you add the judges of 1,000, ends up being, according to Rashi, 88,000 judges. And if 88,000 judges killed two people, then you have 88,000 times 2, you have 176,000. That means that 176,000 people were killed because they did the idolatry of Baal Peor. And also clearly, afterwards Zimri ben Solo does his action and he causes Hashem's anger, and it's written in the last pasuk of Parshas Balak, on pasuk number 9, Vayia meisim b'magefo arboim ve'esrim alef, that 24,000 people died in the plague, and we know that these 24,000 people are from the tribe of Shimon, but nonetheless, this is clearly written on the pasuk that 24,000 people died, and according to Rashi, as we mentioned, 176,000 people died by the hands of the judges because they committed idolatry, and 24,000 people died by the hands of Hashem because of Hashem's anger for the immorality. Then we see that 200,000 people died, which is 1/3 of the Jewish population. Then clearly that goes against what the Ma'arik says, that everybody present at Hor Har, by the death of Aharon, all of them came into Eretz Yisrael. Well, we see that Hashem killed, according to Rashi, 200,000 people, and according to the pasuk itself, at least 24,000 people died by the plague that Hashem gave after the story of Zimri. Then obviously, not everybody that's present at the death of Aharon could come into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Maskil Adavd explains that when Rashi says that the rest of the people are part of the people, that's written on Dvarim chapter 4, verse number 4, Chaim Kulchem Ayoim, that you all remain alive, it doesn't necessarily mean that you remain alive. It means that you have the potential to remain alive, that because of the sin of the spies, you are not going to die. You are going to die if you do other sins, as in fact they died by Baal Peor. But because of the sin of the spies, then you deserve to be Chaim Kulchem Ayoim, that you are living today. And that goes clearly against what the Ma'arik says, that everybody that was present at the death of Aharon came into Eretz Yisrael, where we see the pasuk contradicts it. Sefer Be'er Basada tries to answer the redundancy, and he gives an answer, but unfortunately I did not understand his answer, because I have an obvious question on this answer. Sefer Be'er Basada says that there is a difference between the Kol HaOedah written on pasuk number 1 and pasuk number 22. And he says that since the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Lamed Omed Beis, where the Gemara there brings the Mishnah, which the Mishnah says in the name of Rab Shimon Gamliel, Lohayu Yomim Tevim LeYisrael, that there was never such a holiday for the Jewish people, Kechamisha Aser Be'av Yom Kippurim, like the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. And the Gemara there is trying to find out why the 15th day of Av is considered a holiday. And the Gemara gives various opinions, but one opinion is brought down in the name of Rabba Bar Chana, Om Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Yom Shekolu Boy Meise Midbar, that this is the day that the dead of the desert stopped dying. Just as a side note, you would have thought that this is a reason enough to make a holiday, but the Gemara says that there is actually a deeper reason why we made a holiday. The Gemara continues and says, the Omar Mar, because we learned that actually Kolu Meise Midbar, that while the people of the desert didn't finish dying, meaning while the Jewish people were punished by the spies, Lohayu Dibur Im Moshe, that Hashem did not speak with Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's written on Devarim chapter 2, verse number 16 and 17, Vayikasher Tamu Kol Anshei Milcham Olamus, it was only after everybody stopped dying, then Vaydaber Hashem Eli, Hashem spoke to me. Meaning Eli Hayu Adibur, that only then Hashem spoke to me. Which implies that while the people were dying, Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara is saying that we make a holiday because now we are eligible to have a connection with Hashem. Because while people were dying, Hashem didn't have a connection with us. But now that the people stopped dying, again we could regain that connection. Meaning that we're not making the holiday because people stopped dying, we're making a holiday because Hashem is reconnecting with us. But going back to the topic, Tosfos explains what does it mean the day that the Jewish people stopped dying, why specifically the 15th of Av. So Tosfos brings from the Rashbam in Baba Basa Daf Kof Chof Aleph 121b, and Rabbeinu Hananel brings here also on the place, that after the Jewish people were punished by the sins of the spies, which was Tisha B'Av, which was the 9th of Av, every year during that day, each man between the age of 20 and 60 would dig a grave on the eve of Tisha B'Av, and each man would lay down to sleep in that grave. The next morning, an announcement would be made that let the living separate themselves from the dead, and all those who had survived the night would rise and leave the graves, and those who died obviously remained there. And this happened every year during the 40 years of the desert. However, when the announcement was made in the 40th year, meaning that everybody dug the grave out of Tisha B'Av, and then they went to sleep, and the 40th year in the morning, announcement was made that everybody that is alive should separate themselves from his grave, then everyone rose and nobody died. Then how is it possible that every got up if Hashem told them that they'll die for 40 years? Then they thought that they miscalculated the calendar. Therefore, they lay again on the 10th, on the 11th, on the 12th, on the 13th, and on the 14th. But then it came the 15th when they saw the moon is full. They knew they didn't miscalculate the calendar anymore, and they saw that nobody died. Then they realized that Hashem forgave them already for the sin of the spies, and nobody is going to die anymore because of that sin. They celebrated the 15th of Av in that day as a day of celebration, since they realized that Hashem forgave them already for the sin of the spies. Therefore, every year after that, we celebrate the 15th of Av as the day that the Jewish people stopped dying. But if you analyze what happened, you realize that the Jewish people already stopped dying a year before the 40th year. They only realized that the 40th year that Hashem already forgave them last year for the sin. Because it's not now that they stopped dying. They stopped dying last Tisha B'Av. But right now is when they realize that Hashem already forgave them retroactively. Therefore, we celebrate every Tu B'Av to remember that Hashem forgave us for the sin of the spies in Tu B'Av. It wasn't the 40th year that Hashem forgave us, it was already the 39th year that Hashem forgave us, but we didn't come to the realization until the Tisha B'Av later. According to this idea, Sefer Be'er Basada explains that the first time it's written on Pasuk number 1, before Miriam's death, it's written there, Kol Oeda. It's true that this is Eda Chadosha and Shleima, it's a complete new Eda, but the people didn't realize that yet. Nobody realized until later, because at Nisan, nobody knew that there aren't going to be any more death that Tisha B'Av. But when the Pasuk writes down again, in Pasuk 22, before the death of Aharon, Kol Oeda, there everybody already knows that Hashem forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the spies. Therefore, there the Torah repeats itself and says, Kol Oeda, that everybody is complete. Everybody is going to go into Eretz Yisrael, or most of the people are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Torah has to repeat it twice, because the first Kol Oeda written on Pasuk number 1 is the fact that Hashem already knows that this is Eda Chadosha Ushleima, that this is a complete new Eda, that all of them are destined to go into Eretz Yisrael. But the second Kol Oeda is when Moshe Rabbeinu realized that this is going to happen. And therefore, it's written twice, because one is referring to when Moshe Rabbeinu did not know, and the second is referring to when Moshe Rabbeinu knew. Unfortunately, I did not manage to understand this answer, because since on Pasuk number 22, we are talking about the Pasuk that's written before the death of Aharon, that the whole congregation came to Hor Hashem, and then Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aharon to go up to the mountain and die there. That means that this Pasuk is referring to before the death of Aharon, because they have to come to Hor Hashem in order to tell Aharon to go up the mountain and die in Hor Hashem, die up the mountain. And I mentioned previously in my CD from Parshas Maaseh that the Torah says that Aharon died on the first day of the fifth month, meaning that Aharon died on Rosh Chodesh Av. That means that they came to Hor Hashem before Rosh Chodesh Av. And if I follow the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Hananel, the Jewish people did not find out that they are not going to die anymore because of the sin of the spies until the 9th of Av at least, or the 15th of Av, because that's when they established the holiday. And as a matter of fact, the Beir Basada clearly knows this Gemara and this Rashbam, because himself brings proof that in Nisan they did not know from this Rashbam, because Rashbam clearly says that only in the 40th year, at the 9th of Av, or the 15th of Av, they found out that Hashem forgave them for the sin of the spies. Then how is it possible that before Rosh Chodesh Av, where the pasuk is written Kol Hoedah, the Beir Basada is saying that at that point everybody already knew that they are going to be Eidah Shleima, that they are all going to survive? Because he explains that the difference is that in pasuk number 1, before the death of Miriam, there only Hashem knew, but Moshe and Bnei Israel did not know that they survived already the sin of the spies. Therefore, it's written Kol Hoedah, and therefore Rashi doesn't make such great comments. But afterwards, on Pasuk 22, before the death of Aharon, there everybody already knows that Hashem forgave them for the sin. Therefore, Rashi writes down clearly that Kol Hoedah, it's written because now it's Eidah Shleima, that Moshe Rabbeinu referred to these people that survived, that you are all remaining surviving. Meaning that now Moshe Rabbeinu could tell them that they are all living and they are going to survive, because now they know. But how could they know if they didn't find out until the 9th of Av, according to the Rashbam and according to the Rabbeinu Hanano? I wanted to give a doiche k'teretz to squeeze in an answer, that since we know that the Jewish people cried over Aharon for 30 days, and since Aharon died in Rosh Chodesh Av, that means that the Jewish people cried for Aharon until Rosh Chodesh Elul. That means that during the stay in Hoyra'ar, the Jewish people found out that they survived the sin of the spies, because since they found out by the 15th of Av, and they were still in Hoyra'ar because they were mourning the death of Aharon, that means that the Jewish people came to Hoyra'ar. They are eventually going to find out that they are called Hoedah, that they are a complete Eidah. True that they didn't know when they got there, because they got there before Rosh Chodesh Av, but since they are going to be in Hoyra'ar for 30 days at least, because that's the mourning time of Aharon, then they are going to find out during the time that they are there that they are going to survive the desert. Therefore, it could be that that is what the Beir Basada means to say, that eventually is going to be Kol Hoedah, eventually is going to be the whole congregation, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was able to tell everybody that V'atem Madveikim B'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayoyim, that if you cleave to Hashem, you are all going to remain alive, that you are not going to die anymore by the sin of the spies. The Rachaim HaKodesh gives a completely different answer of why the Torah here changed the formula and wrote Vayavoyu Bnei Israel Kol Hoedah, that the Jewish people came, the whole congregation, the whole assembly. And he explains that we know that depending on the level of the Jewish people, so the name that Hashem refers to them changes. Meaning that when the Jewish people are righteous and they are tzaddikim and they are in a lofty level, then Hashem calls the Jewish people Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, because Israel denotes a high name from the language Sarkel, that we are the ministers of Hashem. But when they are not in a high level, when they are not behaving properly, then Hashem calls the Jewish people Aham, nation, as the Pasuk writes down, Adono Yenatsuni Ha'am Azeh, until when this nation is going to irritate me. And so we'll find in different places that when the Jewish people act lofty, Hashem calls them Bnei Israel. When the Jewish people don't act properly, then Hashem calls them Ha'am, the nation. And sometimes when the Jewish people are in a medium level, meaning that we find people that are in a lofty level and we find people that are in a low level, then the Pasuk writes down Am Bnei Israel, that the nation of the Jewish people. Hashem uses both languages to denote that the Jewish people aren't equal. There are lofty people among the Jewish people, and there are people who are still at a low level. But here he explains that the Torah is telling you specifically that the whole congregation of the Jewish people were in a very high, lofty level. Because the Pasuk says, Vayavoyu Bnei Israel, that the Bnei Israel came, who are the Bnei Israel? Kol Ho'eda. The whole assembly, the whole congregation are in the lofty level of Bnei Israel. And he explains that for three reasons Hashem wanted to point out that here the Jewish people are all in the category of Bnei Israel. One reason is the reason brought by Devan Ezra. Devan Ezra says that the Torah is not very clear what was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mei Meriva. True that Rashi explains that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was that Hashem told him to speak to the rock and he hit the rock, but theoretically the rock has no feelings. Then what's the difference if you hit the rock or speak to the rock? Therefore, the Devan Ezra brings multiple reasons of why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. And one of the reasons that the Devan Ezra brings is that since Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk number 10 says to the Jewish people, Shimu no hamoirim, listen to me, O rebel ones, Hamina sela azeh, from this rock, noitzi lochem maim, are we going to give you water? That means that Moshe Rabbeinu called the Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov rebels, and Moshe Rabbeinu should have not called the Jewish people rebels, therefore he was punished. Then the Rachaim explains that here you have even a stronger reason why Moshe Rabbeinu deserved punishment, because since Hashem clearly testifies that Kol Ha'eda, that the whole congregation here is Bnei Israel, are in a lofty level of Bnei Israel, it's not proper to call them rebels. According to this Or HaChaim HaKodesh, I wanted to say that he answers the question of Devan Ezra. Devan Ezra dismisses this opinion that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he called them rebels, because in the end of Parshas Vayelech, Devarim chapter 31, verse number 27, there Moshe Rabbeinu uses the language that the Jewish people are rebels again. Moshe Rabbeinu there says, Mamri me'isem im Hashem, that you are rebels if Hashem. And Devan Ezra reasons that if Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he called the Jewish people rebels, clearly Moshe Rabbeinu would have not repeated that sin again by the end of his life by calling them rebels again. Then we must say that calling them rebels wasn't considered a sin. I want to say, based on this Or HaChaim HaKodesh, that it could be different. Here, the Torah testifies that the Jewish people were the category of Bnei Israel. They were in a high, lofty level. Therefore, here it's improper to call them rebels. But since after this story, the Jewish people fell in Baal Peor and they did other sins, then it could be that they fell from the lofty category of Bnei Israel, and now could be they are rebels. Therefore, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't punished because he called the Jewish people just rebels. He was punished because the Jewish people were in a, such a high, lofty level, and he called them rebels. But had the Jewish people not been in such high, lofty level, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would not be punished for calling them rebels. And therefore, in the end of his life, where Moshe Rabbeinu knows that the Jewish people are going to sin, that they are not in such a high, lofty level, he calls them rebels without any repercussions, and is not worried about calling them rebels. The second reason that the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says that it's written here that the Jewish people were in a high, lofty level is to maximize the status of Miriam. Meaning that even though the Jewish people are all in the levels of Tzaddikim, still, after Miriam died, the waters dried up. That the Jewish people did not have the merit to have the waters for them. Only Miriam had the merit to have the waters come out. That even though the Jewish people were in such a high level, and they were tzaddikim, righteous people, still the water only came in the merit of Miriam and not in the merit of the Jewish people. Therefore, as soon as Miriam died, the waters dried up. And the third reason the Rachaim HaKodesh says that since the Medrashim blamed the Jewish people for not coming and do Gemilas Chesed for Miriam, meaning that seemingly the Jewish people did not come and do Nichum Avaylim, consolation of the dead, to Moshe and Aharon regarding the death of Miriam, because all we see is that they came and they started fighting right away with Moshe Rabbeinu. You may have thought that the Jewish people were in a low level, that they did it on purpose, that they didn't want to be Goymel Chesed with Miriam. Therefore, the Torah tells you that they were all in a high, lofty level, and the reason that they didn't come to console Moshe and Aharon regarding Miriam is because it's written in the Pasuk, Vatomas Shom Miriam Vatikover Shom, that she died there and she was buried there. And the Medrash explains that they buried her very quickly. Take of Lemisa Kvura, that right after she died, she was buried. Then the Jewish people did not know that Miriam passed away. Therefore, they didn't do Gmilas Chesed. They realized that the waters had stopped, but they didn't realize that Miriam had passed away because she was buried so quickly. Therefore, the Torah testifies that you should be done, the Jewish people, a kaf schus, for merit, and know that they are all tzaddikim, and the reason they didn't Menachem Avol console Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon was not because they were in a low level and they wanted just to fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. It is because they didn't know that Miriam had died. It is interesting that the Rachaim HaKodesh does not make any comment regarding Pasuk 22, where there is written also Bnei Yisrael Kaloedo, and there the Rachaim does not tell us why it's important to say that the whole congregation is in a lofty level, but it could be that the Rachaim HaKodesh will agree with the Ramban, that the Ramban points out that the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma, when they say Eido Shleima, that this is referring to the new assembly that is going to come into Eretz Yisrael, or that is not going to be punished anymore by the sins of the spy, that Medrash is referring to the Kolo Eido written in Pasuk 22 before the death of Aharon, and not in Pasuk number 1 before the death of Miriam. Therefore, by the death of Miriam, the Rachaim has to learn something else, and he has to say that there, by the death of Miriam, it means to say that all the Jewish people were in a high, lofty level for the reasons that he mentioned. But nonetheless, we see that the Rachaim HaKodesh holds that we were in a high, lofty level before the death of Miriam, that Hashem called us all Bnei Yisrael. Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all merit again to be called Bnei Yisrael by Hashem, that we all be in a high, lofty level. If we do that, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.